Well, you can take your Bibles tonight. We're going to start in John chapter 11. Gospel of John chapter 11. And tonight, we're going to be looking at some of the events leading up to the Last Supper, but with an idea of similar versus identical. And the Bible has records in it, oftentimes, that have similarities, but it does not necessarily mean that those records are identical. We're going to look at some of those tonight. We're starting on, for those who like dates and times, the 8th of Nisan, which is Thursday. And that's 6 days before the Passover, the day that Jesus Christ was crucified. So this is basically the week leading up to it. And John chapter 11, verse 53. The context here is that Jesus Christ had very recently raised Lazarus from the dead, but after doing so had to leave the area because the religious leaders wanted him dead. At this point, you know, he had done numerous miracles. He had preached all around Galilee in the year of his ministry, and at this point, leadership basically wanted him dead. And it says in verse 53, then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. So this is about 13 miles north of Jerusalem. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. So he spent some time in that town, on sort of on the outskirts, past the wilderness. But when it became time where Passover was getting close, things changed. So the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, what think ye, that he will not come to the feast? You know, where's Jesus been? Do you think he'll come? Do you think he'll come for the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it. He should tell them that they might take him or capture him. So they gave instructions to all the people that if they saw Jesus, to let them know, right? Because they wanted him dead. Chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. All right, so now that kind of sets our timeline. We're now 6 days prior, and he's returned to Bethany, where Lazarus was or is. Verse 2. And so now verse 2 starts the 9th of Nisan, right? The Jewish day starts in the evening and goes through the following day till sunset. So this is Thursday evening, making it a new day, 9th of Nisan. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor or the smell of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Okay, so Judas says, how come we're not giving this money to the poor? But he's doing it with an ulterior motive of the more money they collect, the more he skims off the top, because he was the treasurer. Verse 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So a lot of the Jews wanted to know where Jesus was, wanted to come see him, wanted to come see Lazarus, who he raised from the dead. And now the chief priests were thinking, well, we might as well kill Lazarus too, because he died already, and him being alive is proof that Jesus Christ can do these wonderful things. So we have the record here of the dinner and of Mary anointing Jesus Christ. And we're going to see later a very similar record, but one that is not identical. Verse 12. On the next day, so this is now Friday, still the 9th of Nisan. On the next day, many people that were coming to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle. So the people that were present when Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead were walking along with him and witnessing this to everybody. This is Lazarus who Jesus raised. And everybody came out to meet him because they had heard about this and needed to see it for themselves. Verse 19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Right, so they were getting very jealous and very concerned because all the people were now following and coming after Jesus. But on Friday, Jesus comes to Jerusalem riding on an ass's colt, so a young donkey, and they throw down palms in the way. And that's where we get the tradition of Palm Sunday, but everybody just has the date wrong because they've got the crucifixion date wrong. We're going to read a similar record in Luke 19. Go to Luke 19, verse 35. So this is of the same, this is of the identical entry into Jerusalem. Same record, but in Luke. And when, in the Bible, riding on the colt of an ass or a donkey indicates judgment. There's a number of records actually in Judges that goes over how they would ride on the young donkeys when they were coming in for judgment. So this was a symbolism of Jesus' coming in judgment of Israel. Luke 19, verse 35. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. So they also spread clothing in the way. So palm leaves and clothing. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Correct them. They're calling you a king. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, if they were to be quiet, the stones would immediately cry out. Verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, basically level you to the ground, and the children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Right? And so this is his like prophetic judgment of Israel, that it would be destroyed. We're going to read the same record in Mark, chapter 11, Mark 11, verse 7. So Jesus kind of proclaims this little prophecy of judgment on the first arrival. And Mark covers what happens when he gets into the gates of Jerusalem. Mark 11, verse 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him and sat up, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into the temple, or into Jerusalem, and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. So very short section there, but it shows that he also entered into the temple and inspected it. He looked round about it, and that word to look round about is like an inspection, as in judgment. You know, he was taking note of everything that he saw. So he looked around, kind of inspected everything, but then he turns around and he goes back to Bethany with the 12. So this is the first entry into Jerusalem, and it's one of judgment, and it takes place on that Friday, on the 9th of Nisan. So we're going to continue here in verse 12, but this now marks a new evening, which is a new day, the 10th of Nisan. Right, so Friday evening through Saturday, which is 4 days prior. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. So he went back to Bethany, new time, on the morrow, the next day. They were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Right? And as we know, this cursing of the fig tree is because the time of figs was not yet, but there were leaves. And there should have been buds if it was going to produce fruit. There should have been like little buds and flowers that turned into the figs, but there was just leaves, and it found nothing but leaves. He didn't see any buds. And so he knew it was not going to produce fruit. So this, again, sort of symbolizes Israel, that it was not producing fruit. Right, that there wasn't any fruit coming out of Israel, that things had been so corrupted and so traditionalized that there was no fruit anymore. And so he curses it, and the disciples hear it. Go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 1. This is the same time period. So it's the 10th of Nisan. It's that Saturday during the day. When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, if any man says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh unto me, unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. So when he first entered into Jerusalem on Friday, how many animals were involved? One, just the colt. And this one, there's two animals involved. There's the donkey herself and her baby, the colt. So this is a separate instance. And this is his second coming into Jerusalem. And it's significant because there are records in the Old Testament where they arrive in places unto a king with two animals. And it symbolizes a blessing. So the first day he came, it was in judgment. And the second day he arrives on the two animals, which symbolizes blessing. Verse 8, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. So in this record, the whole city is moved, right? The first day, some people kind of came out. They had heard about Lazarus. They had heard what happened. The second day, those people who were out there the first day probably went and told other people, and now the whole city comes out, and the whole city is moved. And it also happens to be that this is the day that traditionally the Passover lamb is selected. And as we know, Jesus Christ was to be that Passover lamb. Verse 12, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Right? So on this day, the second day, Jesus, after witnessing everything that happened on the first day, comes in and flips everything on its head, right? Says, we're not doing this anymore. And, you know, he makes a mess of all the money changers and all the stuff that was happening in the temple that shouldn't have been there. Verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were so happy that people were getting healed and blessed. They were sore displeased. And they said unto him, hearest thou what these say? Aren't you listening to what they're calling you? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you ever read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And that means out of the weak and the humble. These people that had a need, had a real need for spiritual, you know, revival, because it had just been so dark in Israel, had seen great things from Jesus Christ, and they believed. In verse 17 it says, and he left them and went out of the city unto Bethany, and he lodged there. So this was the second day, right? He came this time, he flips over all the tables, and he teaches people, and he heals people, and he makes it known, he presents himself as the Passover lamb. Go to Mark chapter 11. So again, a similar record, but not an identical one. There are two different entries by Jesus Christ into Jerusalem on animals, and they were for different reasons. We're going to pick it up in Mark, just as a quick recap of the same record we just read, Mark 11:15. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. All right, so now it's evening again, which means it's a new day, the 11th of Nisan. This is Saturday evening through Sunday, 3 days prior. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. That was the fig tree that he cursed. Remember that? And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest, that was yesterday, is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto him, Have faith in God, or believe God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So in the morning, they notice the tree is dried up, and Jesus Christ teaches them about believing. All right, we're going to flip back to Matthew 21. And this was the tree that they had passed by on the first day. On the way to Jerusalem, they passed by coming out of Bethany. And that's important because we're now going to see a similar instance that's not identical in Matthew 21, 18. All right, it says, Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And the word into, returned into the city, is the word eis in Greek, eis. And it literally means within or inside. So in the morning, as he returned inside the city, he was hungry. There was a walk from Bethany to the city. What we just read was when they came out of Bethany, they ran into the fig tree that he had cursed the following day. It was dried up, and he talked to them about believing. Now he's inside the city, hungry. Verse 19, And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. Very similar. Once again, he found another fig tree without any kind of buds and knew that it was not going to produce fruit. And presently or immediately, the fig tree withered away. And when his disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? The first fig tree didn't wither away immediately. They only noticed it withering away the next morning, the second day when they came by it. And Peter was the one to call out Jesus Christ cursing it. In this record, it withers away immediately, and his disciples, who are now following him, they're the ones who marvel, saying, How soon is it that it's withered away? So, very similar record, but not identical, and establishing the state of Israel, that it was not producing fruit and that it was withering away. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but if you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And that's lumbano, into manifestation. So in the morning, Jesus Christ establishes this teaching by having a second tree withered away and once again teaching them about believing. And that believing would be important, right? Because in the grace administration, believing is a big part of what we can operate with the power of God. And so he was preparing these people for that Verse 23, and when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? So Jesus, we're not going to read all of it. There's a whole lot that happens in the next few chapters. But Jesus confronts the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians on different occasions as he's teaching in the temple. And they all try to undermine him. And normally these three groups are opposed. They don't all believe the same thing. You know, this guy believes this, and this guy believes this, and this guy believes this, between the Herodians, Pharisees, and Sadducees. But at this point, they're all united in their opposition against Jesus. They all want him dead. And it illustrates how far gone Israel's leadership had become. He finishes, he teaches them among parables. He calls out the poor leadership through parables. And he ultimately finishes his discourse with a prophecy about the temple's destruction. And we're going to look at that in Mark 13. Mark 13, verse 1. It says, and as he went out of the temple, so he spent the day teaching in the temple, confronting all these people, teaching in parables. As he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And again, this was Jesus' prophesying of what was to happen to the temple in Jerusalem. The building had started before he was born in 20 BC, and eventually it would be finished after his death in 64 AD, but 6 years later, in 70 AD, the Romans would destroy it. And so the temple was only complete for about 6 years before it was destroyed. In verse 3 it says, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple. Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things be fulfilled? So they ask him about it. You know, he just said the whole temple is going to be destroyed. What's going to happen? And so he spends the rest of the day instructing them and teaching them about the things that are to come, not only for them as apostles, but speaking of some of the future things that are still to happen that are spoken of in the book of Revelation. And that brings us to Mark chapter 14, verse 1. We are now in the evening again. 12th of Nisan, Sunday evening to Monday, which is 2 days prior. And we know that because it says after 2 days was the feast of the Passover. So only two more days was Passover. And of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, or not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. So they were trying to figure out a way they could kill Jesus before the actual Passover feast, because they knew once it started, it wouldn't be wise politically to do it. Verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. So now he's back in Bethany, but he's not at Lazarus' house anymore. He's now at the house of Simon the leper. As he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his what? Head. So this is a very similar record. When he was over at Lazarus' house, Mary took some ointment, very precious, and anointed his feet. And this one, it's an unnamed woman at the house of Simon the leper, and she's anointing his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? And if you remember in the other record, it was Judas who was the one who said, why are we wasting this money? But now there were some that said it within themselves. So maybe Judas had some influence on them. What he said the first time maybe got in their heads a little bit. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and might be given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for you have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will, you may do them good. Whenever you want to help them, you can help them. But me have ye not always. And she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Therefore, or verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Right? So a similar record, but not identical. He is being anointed before his burial. In verse 10, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And so it's at this time, 2 days prior, that Judas goes and betrays Jesus Christ and sets up the plan of how he would be captured. Go to Luke chapter 22. We will close in this record. Luke 22, verse 1. And this is still the 12th of Nisan, during the day on Monday, 2 days prior. Now when the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh or near, which is called Passover, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being one of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how they might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day, and that word day is better translated the time. It wasn't Passover. It was the time around unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed, because it was 2 days prior. So the time is coming near. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? Where do you want us to prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And you shall say unto the good men of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And so they needed some time to go do this. They're preparing for the Passover, which begins Wednesday evening, and it's Monday during the day. It's crowded in the city, everyone's there for the feast. People from all the surrounding area are there. So to get lodging and to get supplies that they need to do it, you know, a couple days ahead of time, not last minute. So they're preparing for it. In verse 13, And they went and found as he said unto them, and they made ready for the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down with them, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And this is not the Passover meal, but this is the Last Supper. He wanted to eat the Passover with them, but he was to be the Passover lamb and would not get that opportunity. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, This, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And so this is the Last Supper. And what takes place after this, which we're not going to go into tonight, but he doesn't get to enjoy the Passover with his disciples because he was the Passover lamb for us all. And what follows this is his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, his capture, as that's where Judas betrayed him, Peter's denials and the cock crowing and all of that, and then about 20 hours of illegal trials, mockings, beatings, and torture before being led to Calvary to be crucified. So what takes place over the next 2 days is basically all the stuff that Jesus suffered and went through before being ultimately crucified. But he died for us and for our sins, and so that we could be called sons of God and have what we have today. And just thought it would be kind of cool to look at what led up to all of that, and just how the different records all fit together. There's a lot of similarities in these records over that week, but a lot of them are distinct and independent events.